A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's watercourses are filled. You have prepared the grain.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yield.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothes the hills.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The fields are garmented with flocks, and the valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The seed is the word of God, Christ is the sower. All who come in him will have life forever.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Thank you, Lord.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. Some fell on the path. Some fell on rocky ground. And some fell among thorns. The Gospel of St. Matthew is situated in a way in which there are three major teachings that Jesus presents. The first two we've already experienced. From chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. The second we just concluded, where he teaches us extensively about discipleship, what that entails, what that involves. Today begins his parabolic teachings, or shall we say the parabellum. Parabellum is a teaching, it is an instruction in which We think of the principle that says, if you want peace, prepare yourself for war. If you want peace, prepare yourself for war. And so significant is the parabolic teachings of Jesus that for the next 3 weeks, the gospel will be focusing us on these parables of Jesus, which are always ordered towards his two favorite topics, God and the kingdom of God, and those who inhabit that reality. So as we hear this message today, it should strike us, especially from a first century Jewish perspective, that this sower is reckless and careless. Seed, number one, at that time, in an agrarian culture, to purchase seeds for vegetation and so forth was very expensive. You would not have someone who has this type of their life needing these seeds, they would not just be throwing it on the path and in the rocky fields and in thorns and bush. No way under God's good heaven will you see that happening. But yet, this is how this sower is presented to us. He's throwing the seed with reckless abandon. And as you and I might struggle to understand what is Jesus getting at here, we see how the disciples do us a favor. But their question is more towards, why is it that you teach the crowds in parables? And Jesus discloses that in basis of the writing of the prophet Isaiah. Because most of the world is situated in a mindset in which their whole principle of operation is based on the secular mindset is that we can do it ourselves. We don't have to answer to anyone. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Do your own thing. We can fix this. We just have to come together and employ enough ingenuity and effort and resources, and we can fix this problem. Well, I'll leave that to you to discern how that's working out for the world. It's very clear. From the beginning, from the time of Adam and Eve to now until the end of time, we will always have to toil with that dynamic. Hence the dynamics of what Jesus presents us with in the parable. The different paths that the seed is thrown on is meant for you and I to understand the battle, what we're contending with. He affirms the existence of the devil, and he also confirms the reality of the lure and the attractions of a world which is beautiful in itself. In the creation that God has given us, it's very beautiful and bountiful for what God intends for us to do with him. But as sin has entered, there is this disordered appetite and manipulation of the creation that goes against what God intends, and therein lies a lot of problems. But then probably the most challenging of the images is where Jesus speaks in this parable of thorns, the thorns and the thistles. That speaks of the interior tribulation. When you hear the word tribulation, that means it's synonymous with trials, but more to the point, it's about testing. It's what each one of us contends with. I know what my plans are for my life. I knew what they were years ago. Before God made it clear to me that he was calling me to the priesthood, I had it all mapped out. And I knew how I was going to go about this. And so now that the Lord has reminded me, as a result of my conversion to him who is the gospel, he who is the one who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, now that he has fully captured my attention and renewed me in what has happened to me when I was baptized, namely that I was claimed by Christ. You look at the celebration of baptism, everything that happens in that sacrament opens one's minds and one's heart to the reality of the mysteries that Jesus is teaching us about. For he who has ears, ought to hear. Ears ought to hear. In the baptismal celebration, there is the prayer of Ephphatha, the Aramaic for be opened. The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear. So the priest or the deacon, whoever's ministering the sacrament, crosses, blesses the ears of the infant with the sign of the cross. And then the Lord Jesus made the mute speak or the dumb speak. And then we do the blessing near the mouth, so that the Lord may soon touch your ears with his word and your mouth with his message, that you might proclaim this gospel for the majority of your life, to the praise and glory of the Father, and for your salvation and the salvation of others. So I think of oftentimes, what is the difference then between hearing and listening? I remember my brothers and I always getting into some kind of mischievous behaviors. And my mother would give us instructions about certain things.
Kyle, didn't I tell you you shouldn't be doing that? Didn't I tell you? Didn't you hear me?
I heard you.
I didn't ask if you heard me. I said, did you hear me?
In other words, in what I heard, did I take it in such a way that I listened and obeyed what she said? Obviously, she wouldn't have been coming at me like that had I listened and in listening obeyed her word of command or instruction. But again, it always comes down to what's going on within me. You know, St. Paul says it in his 7th chapter to the letter to the Romans. I experience within me two forces that are at odds. One that draws me to the good I want to do and ought to do and should do, and one that pulls me towards the evil, wicked thing I have no business doing. And he says, I really do. I try as best I can to do the good, but therein, the evil, the wicked thing is there, and I fall into it. What a wicked man I am. Who can save me from this? And just as it is, it looks as though Paul is going to despair and is throwing the towel, he praises and thanks God for Christ, the Word, through whom he made the entire universe, visible and invisible. The Word, which in the fullness of time took upon himself a human nature to show us what it looks like to be a human being created to the image and likeness of God, to live in the freedom of the Spirit. This is a process. And as we are, those of us who are in the stages of adulthood, if you look back over your life, in the light of this parable that Jesus is teaching and how he explains for us. And isn't that beautiful to know that God doesn't just give us his word to teach us and you know, to give us revelation as to who he is and who we are in relationship to him and everything else and everyone else. But God has a real desire for us to understand what it is that he's telling us. Hence, his revelation, his instruction to the young, to the disciples. We're striving to be his disciples today and every day. And so as we hear how the Lord is proclaiming this message to us, we can recognize hope. I'm sure, at least I can speak for myself, I can see where I used to be the rocky ground, I was the path, and I was the thorns in the midst of everything, how the word came to me. I've seen my life in those patterns. And I still see it. Just because I'm in this outfit and I have a number more years of experience in trying to put into practice the word that Jesus speaks, that doesn't mean that I've arrived, that I'm a completed work. Absolutely not. That doesn't come until the last breath on this side of the kingdom. So be encouraged. The important thing to know is that Jesus has come in such a way as to teach us the keys. It has pleased the Father, he says, to give us the keys of the kingdom. The primary key, one of the main keys, is the gift of love, the Holy Spirit poured into your heart and my heart. That Holy Spirit that enables us to remember the teachings of Jesus and to be able to be at peace with the fact that maybe I'm not as far down or as advanced as I want to be in the ways of the gospel, but that's not to be troublesome for us. Why? Because that Holy Spirit's going to meet us where we are and guide us in the truth as we can handle it as it unfolds. The Word of God today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, all are meant to highlight for us how purposeful and intentional God is. His word is creative. It realizes what it speaks to. You know as well as I, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And once that eternal word took upon himself a human nature, Lazarus, come out! And he came out, still wrapped from head to toe. When God speaks, it happens. And that is the same to this very day. When you hear the priest in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, in the Holy Mass, as we move to the second part of the liturgy, speak into the elements of the bread and wine. This is my body. This is my blood. There should be no doubt whatsoever in your mind. It becomes what those words say. Not because of me, but because of the one working through me. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, it is the will of God that all come to the knowledge of the truth, that God is love. And he wants all of us to participate in what love entails. Giving and receiving. You've received without cost, give without cost. Are we going to be up against obstacles and challenges? Absolutely. And there'll be more parables to show us how the devil, he's a part of it. He's formidable. But by and far, the greatest obstacle you and I contend with until the day we die is the person I see in the mirror. Because no one can force us to do what we don't want to do. They can. I mean, you know, they can put a gun in. Those, I mean, yes. But I mean, ultimately, we are always free to choose the way that God has revealed. So we are being invited this week to consider our relationship to the Word of God as it truly is. How have we received it? How are we transmitting it? We hear it every day, literally every day. But are we listening? Are we allowing it to get into our hearts to affect every other aspect of our lives? The parabellum. If you want peace, prepare yourself for war. It's a battle. Jesus has given us his revelation, the revelation of the word. It is for us a basic instruction before leaving this earth. And if it's a basic instruction, then it must also be basic training in order for us to navigate this life so as to have the fullness of the life of the world to come. We are soldiers for Christ now. Each one of us here, we are the church militant. The church triumphant, those, our bigger brothers and sisters, like St. Padre Pio over there. Soon, St. Michael the Archangel, who's always around us, helping us in the contending with these forces that we can't see. Of course, the Blessed Mother, she speaks for herself. She's always among us, constantly encouraging us, do whatever he tells you. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, big enough to love the entire world. We have so many members of the family of God that are working with us and for us to succeed in this enterprise. Let us not shy away. Let us not be afraid to trust in the one who has called us to this moment in time, to receive him in word and sacrament, so that our thoughts, our words, but especially our deeds will be a manifestation of this new life we've received by the pure grace of God, so that all might come to the way who is the Lord Jesus, to the truth and the life that never ends. We have to study. We have to be willing to wrestle with, in ourselves, with the help of God, in order to continue to bear the fruit of 30, 60, 100 fold. However much we produce, God will make it happen. The important thing for us is to stay in it, persevere, endure. God is with us. Remember last week, right? Take my yoke upon you. It's easy, my burden is light. Jesus is yoked to you and I, in his word, in his sacrament, within you, within me. We simply have to be resolute in saying, Lord, I choose you. For as he says, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit that shall remain. God love you.